This show is produced by the Hartman Media Company. For more information and links to all our great podcasts, visit hartmanmedia.com.
Welcome to The Commercial Investing Show, where we analyze, explain, and exploit the opportunities presented in today's commercial property marketplace. If you're interested in apartments, mobile home parks, self-storage facilities, and other income property, you've come to the right place. We'll explore what's hot and what's not in markets nationwide in the relentless pursuit of return on investment. Here's your host, Jason Hartman.
Welcome to the show. This is Jason Hartman, your host, and every 10th episode, we do something kind of special, kind of different. What we do is we go off topic. So regardless of which show it is on the Hartman Media Network, whether it be one of the financial shows, economics, real estate investing, travel, longevity, all of the other topics that we have, every 10th episode, we go off topic and we explore something of general interest, something of general life success value. And so many of our listeners around the world in 164 countries have absolutely loved our 10th episode shows. So that's what we're going to do today. And let's go ahead and get to our guest with a special 10th episode show. And of course, on the next episode, we'll be back to our regular programming. Here we go. It's my pleasure to welcome Tony Alessandra to the show. Dr. Alessandra is a streetwise but college smart business person. He has written several books. I've been following him for a long time, and he's just got a great perspective on something he calls, that I'd like to start with, called the Platinum Rule. We're all familiar with the Golden Rule. Tony, tell us about the Platinum Rule.
Well, Jason, you know, the Golden Rule is do unto others as you would have them do unto you, which basically is treat others the way you want to be treated. And in today's increasingly diverse world, the Platinum Rule is do unto others as they would have you do unto them, or treat people the way they want to be treated.
Okay, so give us an example of that. I mean, we want to do unto others the right way, as the Golden Rule would tell us, but we really want to be, I guess this entails being more sensitive to the person and knowing what they want, right?
Absolutely. It's nothing more than being considerate. It's using your eyes and ears to pick up signals from the other person. Jason, are you married?
No. Looking.
Okay. but you know a lot of people that are, right?
Sure.
And anybody who's married knows, hey, if I'm going to ask my spouse something or, you know, to do something or whatever, and then you approach them, you can pick up signals. It's, yeah, I'm going to ask, or no, it's not the right time. From a broader perspective, I use the word diversity. You know that old saying, when in Rome,
do as the Romans
do.
Right.
That's basically what the Platinum Rule is all about. It's being adaptable. It's your ability and your willingness to change your approach depending on the situation or the person you're dealing with.
It sounds like, Tony, people really need to have some good level of empathy to practice the Platinum Rule then, right?
Well, empathy, relationship skills, and to me, most importantly, some very good basic observation skills and listening skills. Because if you simply open your eyes and ears, people will show you or tell you how to treat them. Let me give you a quick example. When I moved, you know, I was born and raised in New York City and New Jersey, first 18 years of my life. And when I eventually moved to San Diego, which is a very different regional culture than the greater New York, New Jersey area. Would you agree?
Absolutely. People are a lot more mellow in San Diego, right?
Exactly. Yeah. More mellow, slower paced, you know, more of a manana, you know, attitude. But when I moved here at first, I practiced the Golden Rule. I treated the people in San Diego the way I wanted to be treated. In other words, I treated the people in San Diego as if they were New Yorkers. Do you see a potential problem?
Yeah, I see a potential problem, yes.
You know, so I came on too strong, too fast, too aggressive. Even when I asked people to do things that under any other circumstance they would have willingly done, they dug in their heels. They decided not to do it. And the irony, it wasn't because of what I was asking them to do that caused them to dig in their heels and not do it. It was simply because of how I asked. I just rubbed people the wrong way. And once I learned that concept that, you know, when in Rome or when in San Diego, I started, at least in San Diego, I slowed down, I was more mellow, and I got a lot more accomplished and made a lot more friends, created a lot more allies. But when I go back to New York, I can't act as if I'm in San Diego. I'll get walked over. So the way when I'm in New York, all of those New York behaviors come back. So, and the same is true. I'm talking about it from a geographic point of view, but even from a behavioral point of view, even in San Diego, there are people who are faster paced. There are people who are slower paced. I've got to pick up those signals and either speed up or slow down. There are people who want to schmooze a little with me and socialize a bit before we get down to business, and there are others that are all business. I've got to pick up those signals and react accordingly. That's what the Platinum Rule is about.
Yeah, it really involves having a real sort of sensory acuity and opening your eyes and ears and seeing what the other person wants. You know, Tony, did the Platinum Rule come out of your background in the assessment tools world? You really talk a lot, and I know you give keynote speeches and so forth, where you teach people how to assess the other person and sort of understand their behavioral analysis. Now, there's a lot of stuff on this. There's, of course, Myers-Briggs, which is potentially the most famous. Tell us about assessing a person and maybe the different styles of people just generally.
Okay. Well, actually, the Platinum Rule came out of my doctoral dissertation in the early to mid-70s, where my dissertation was built around buyer-seller similarity and whether that determined the success of the salesperson in making a sale. So that's where it initiated. I started doing assessments, you know, actual paper-based assessments where people would fill out the answers to 18 questions and it would tell them what their style was, where they would either come out as a director, a thinker, a relator, or a socializer. And then in 1996, when I actually had a book come out called The Platinum Rule, that's when I actually went online with the assessment. And that online assessment, which was called Platinum Rule, so platinumrule.com, that online assessment led to other people coming to me, other people and companies like Ken Blanchard, the author of The 1 Minute Manager, and, you know, Mark Sanborn, the author of The Fred Factor, and Don Hudson, you know, the author of The 1 Minute Entrepreneur. And it goes on and on, you know, companies, corporations, where I have created assessments for them at my assessment site, which is assessmentbusinesscenter.com. And so that, I built the assessment online to try to sell the book, and believe it or not, it became its own business. So as you mentioned, not only do I have the Platinum Rule assessment, which I mentioned the four styles, director, thinker, relator, and socializer, but I have so many variations. I have social styles. I have DISC, which is a very worldwide popular DISC, and then our Myers-Briggs version, which is called the PTI assessment, the Psychological Types Indicator, where it breaks people into 16 patterns of behavior. But, I mean, it goes way beyond that, where you can take assessments to determine how what your emotional intelligence quotient is, and your leadership style and your selling skills, effectiveness, and it just goes on and on. The assessment business now has become my number one revenue generator. That's how I am building my wealth, is by building businesses that actually have value that I can sell. And for me, as an entrepreneur, building businesses that generate passive, recurring revenue.
Sure. Yeah. And that's the key. That's what we all want. And maybe we'll kind of come back to that a little bit. But tell us about the types, if you would. And maybe let me tell you something that just kind of frustrates me, Tony. When I'm working, when I'm doing business, I'm busy and I've got a lot going on. I've got a lot on my mind. I always want to kind of get to the next project and check things off my to-do list, if you will. And when someone comes in to see me to sell me a product or a service for my company, it's frustrating for me. I guess maybe I'm a director. Maybe you can assess me if you like.
That's how it sounds.
But, you know, it's frustrating that when they want to kind of chit chat and I want to get to the bottom line, man, I want to get it done and do the next thing. And it's very frustrating when the person selling to you doesn't sense your style and sense what you need.
Right. I think a lot of salespeople today are simply living, breathing, walking, talking ads. Just like an ad on television, it's the same ad, you know, no matter who you are. And too many salespeople, they go out and they pitch the same thing to everybody rather than using the power of face-to-face communication and adapting your solution and your approach based on the person's file. Let me give you a quick CNN summary of each of the four styles, and I think your listeners will really appreciate this because they can identify, hopefully, with one of them. But the director, which sounds like is your style, their key desire is results, bottom line. Their motto, I want it done right, I want it done now, or better yet, I want it done yesterday. They tend to juggle a lot of things at the same time and do them well. They're great administrators, delegators. They work best under pressure, under deadlines, and they play to win. One of the problems with directors, though, is they're not very good listeners, simply because they don't have the time and they believe they already know the answer.
What'd you say? Just kidding.
Yeah, that's right. Now, the thinker, their key desire is for order, accuracy, precision, perfection. You know, their motto is everything in its place and a place for everything. These are the people who are great planners, problem solvers, organizers. They're great at creating systems. They're highly inventive. And of all four styles, arguably the most intellectual. So if you want something done right, give it to a thinker. But if you want it done on time, think again, because they tend to procrastinate getting finished until it's perfect.
Mm, okay, so the thinker is the one who might suffer from the paralysis of analysis.
Exactly. Perfect example. Now, the relators, our third style, their key desire is for harmony. They're the peacekeepers. They want everything to go smoothly, everybody to get along. They're great listeners. They're team players. They're just easygoing people. But a problem area for them is because they try so hard to keep things on an even keel, they tend to go along with things, even when they don't want to. They tend to hold feelings or disagreements in because they don't want to rock the boat.
And eventually those things become a problem. They come out eventually,
right? It becomes a problem for them. In order to keep the tension low between people, they take on the tension themselves. Some people even describe them as martyrs. And a lot of people take advantage of them. And not necessarily knowingly. It's just that sometimes the relators just open themselves up to being taken advantage of. So that's the relators. The last style, so we did director, thinker, relator. Socializer is the more expressive, influencing style. Their key desire is for fun, excitement, applause, visibility, recognition, and they talk a lot about their favorite subject, themselves.
Okay.
I sometimes joke and say, you know, generally speaking, socializers are generally speaking because they have the gift of gab, the power of persuasion. They're very, they think quickly on their feet. They're great brainstormers. Again, incredibly persuasive people, very likable, very sociable. But sometimes they start too much and don't get a finish. They get bored quickly. I guess a way to summarize that is one of their sayings, when all is said and done, more is frequently said than done. So those are the four styles. And you can quickly see that if you're a salesperson or a manager or a teacher, I can go on and on, what you want to do is you cannot present or lead or manage or motivate or educate each of these four styles the same way because they do things differently.
So now that you've gone over the four basic styles, and you know what's interesting when I'm listening to you, Tony, is I see a little bit of myself in all four of those styles.
Right.
So
right.
No one can really be classified as one type or the other completely, can they?
Well, I wouldn't say completely, but
right.
Every one of us has a dominant pattern. Your dominant pattern may be director.
Right. Okay.
Actually, my dominant pattern is director. However, let me tell you, the name of this concept is behavioral styles, not personality styles.
Oh,
and I know
okay.
A lot of people cringe when they hear, you're asking me to change my personality. No, we're simply asking you to change your behavior. And if that's the case, and we're talking about behavioral styles, what we need to understand is that depending on the situation, depending on the pressures, whatever, you can come across, maybe most of the time, Jason, you come across as a director. But in any given situation, you can be in your socializer style or thinker style or relator style. Now, you may not be in that style that often, but I've got to be prepared to pick up the signals that you send and then treat you based on the style that you're in or the behavior that you're in at that moment in time. And again, if I may, just one example. My partner in the Cyrano group, Scott Zimmerman, when he calls me up every so often because I have caller ID, I know it's him, and I'm in my director mode, here's how I'll answer the phone. What do you want? What's up?
Yeah.
What do you need?
Right.
And he knows right away I'm in that director style, and here's how he typically responds. Tony, I have one quick thing. Now, how would you like people when they call you to say, Jason, I have one quick thing?
I would love that. I would totally appreciate
Jason,
it.
Jason, I have one quick thing. It's going to make you money. All right?
Yeah.
So that's what he does. But every so often, I may be in one of my other modes, and I may answer the phone. Again, knowing it's him, I may answer the phone saying, Tony's Pizzeria, what kind of toppings do you want?
And then you're just
being funny.
He knows
that he can schmooze a little with me before telling me why he called.
Right. Very good. I think maybe I've got a real split personality problem because I see myself as very much in the director style while at work, but pretty different, much more of a socializer when I'm not working. Do we really change at home and work? Are we that different?
Yeah, you absolutely can. You literally, because of training, habit, past experiences, you can actually be a different or project a different behavioral pattern to different people, regardless of what the situation is.
Okay, so when you project a different behavioral pattern to different people, are you invoking the platinum rule? Are you practicing it?
Well, it depends. Are you doing it on purpose or, without thinking? Many people project different patterns without even thinking about it. And you know as well as I do that this is not something, this concept is not taught in school, unfortunately.
No, I wish it was.
Yeah, we don't really get into great depth in school teaching people relationship skills or communication skills, which is one of the real sad stories, because those are the skills, more than anything else you're taught, those are the skills that will help you succeed in business, succeed with people, move up the chain of an organization. Your social skills, your people skills, your communication skills, you can take to any job, no matter what you do, no matter what it is, and it will help you succeed. Whereas your specific training, marketing, engineering, accounting, programming, whatever it is, that's dependent job to job, whereas people skills carry over no matter what you do.
Very good point. Any tips, Tony, on dealing with the four styles besides the ones you've given us? I know you addressed a few, and those were great, by the way. Any more quick tips on that?
Let me start with the director. I'll give you two tips for each style.
Sounds
with
good.
With directors, be clear, specific, brief, and organized. And it's best if you come in with an agenda and show that you did your homework. And stick to business. Don't try to force a personal relationship with directors unless they initiate it. All right, now, with thinkers, here's a simple thing. Three P's. Be prompt, prepared, precise. Prompt, prepared, and precise. And allow them time to think and be comfortable with silences. One of my children is a thinker, and I may ask a question on the telephone, and 5 seconds may pass. And for a director, 5 seconds of silence is an eternity. So 5 seconds pass. And, I'm saying to myself, did my child hear me? Should I repeat myself? But they always answer the question. So I've learned to be comfortable with silences. With relators, take time to build rapport with them and show that you're interested in them as individuals, not just as a customer or an employee or a student, but as an individual. And be patient with them. Show that you're a good listener. And with socializers, very simple. Socialize. Take time to socialize and build a relationship with them and try to create an atmosphere of fun, excitement, and variety. So those are just a couple of tips of being more adaptable with each of the styles.
Yeah. Okay, great. Anybody listening can go take this test online, can they?
Right.
At your website? What's the website again?
You can go to Platinum Rule, platinumrule.com/assessmentorder.asp, all lowercase, assessmentorder.asp. I mean, you could probably even go to platinumrule.com or assessmentbusinesscenter.com and find the assessment, the Platinum Rule assessment.
Right. What is the difference? You made an interesting distinction. What is the difference between personality testing and behavioral style testing? Is Myers-Briggs a personality test or a behavioral test? I never thought about that distinction.
Well, I would think that Myers-Briggs probably, look at it as a continuum. And all the way at the left, maybe it's just simple behavioral, and all the way to the right, it's in-depth personality. The more in-depth personality assessment would be more highly validated over the years. Big number of people who have taken it. It's validated at a higher percentage of accuracy. I would say that the Myers-Briggs on the continuum is probably more toward the side where it's got many, many, many years of track record. It's highly validated assessment, and it probably leans a bit more on more static personality traits. Behavior, which would be more like DISC and social styles, the Platinum Rule, True Colors, those kinds of assessments, again, are more toward the middle, a little bit more to the left, where it's behavioral. Where, again, just like I said, behavior, it can change. So it is situational. And that's why when I ask people to take the online assessment, regardless of whether it's Platinum Rule, Social Styles, DISC, I ask them to pick a focus, work, social, family, so that they can answer the questions about how they believe they behave in that environment.
One of the things that flows out of all of this that people have had a very tough time sort of getting their arms around, because it's a very intangible thing, where in life, you know it when you see it. Some people have it and some don't. But you say that it can be developed. And I think that you have really done one of the definitive works on the subject of this intangible charisma quality. And how can people develop more charisma? I mean, are some people just born with it and kind of lucky to have it, and others need to develop it and work on it?
That's exactly right. Some people have natural charisma. For instance, a Ronald Reagan, a Bill Clinton, a John F. Kennedy, natural charisma. Let's look at somebody who, I would say two people that actually either have or had a lot of charisma, but they developed it. And that was the late Lady Di,
okay.
Princess Diana.
Sure.
And, you know, if you look at her earlier in life, when she first came into the royal family, they used to call her Shy Di. And what happened is she developed the traits to be more charismatic. And very few people would argue that by the time of her untimely death, she was one of the most charismatic people in the world. Another classic example is George Foreman. Today, you look at George Foreman, and he is incredibly charismatic. But when you go back into his earlier years, when he was boxing and he was the world champion, he was anything but charismatic. He was scary. So what I do in my, you know, I've done a lot of work on charisma. So I have it in a book form with Warner Books. I have it on an audio program, and I even have it in video form. But basically what I say is I've broken charisma into seven different traits or characteristics that you could work on to become more charismatic. So that's really what that's all about.
Well, we're just dying to know, what are the seven? I mean, Tony, I remember showing that video to my sales team several years ago, and they really liked it, because this was it's a real intangible. I mean, I've known people that just have charisma, and boy, they always get the girl, they always get the success in life, they have the really good social skills. What are those seven things? Can you just outline those quickly for us?
Yeah, I'll just do it real quickly. One is your silent messages, And what this is, you never get a second chance to make a first impression.
Right.
Your silent messages, you know, you unconsciously send out signals to others, everything from when you open your mouth, how you walk, how you talk, the way you dress, and all of these silent messages shape your image and affect how people perceive you. So that's one that I talk about. But there are several parts to silent messages, but that's one of the seven areas. A second one is your level of persuasiveness. So, charismatic people are persuasive. They can distill complex ideas into simple messages and get people to kind of follow along. A third area is their ability to speak, all right? So it's how well people can articulate ideas. And then the other side of the coin of being able to speak well is your listening skills, which are rarely taught and infrequently practiced, but it is key to making others feel special when they're around you. So that's four so far: silent messages, persuasiveness, speaking skills, listening skills, adaptability, which we talked about earlier, which is your ability to change your approach or your strategy based on the situation or the person you're dealing with, and that is sort of built around those behavioral styles. A sixth area is your use of space and time. And use of space is the whole concept of proxemics, you know, whether people are contact-oriented or not contact-oriented, how close you can get to people, how far away you should stay from people. And then time is how you convey your use of time with other people. For instance, if you're always late with somebody, that sends a message, whether you want to or not, that you don't value that relationship as much as maybe another one where you're always on time or early. The last, seventh area is your vision, your ideas. So, you know, regardless of how strong or persuasive a speaker you are, or how adept you are at connecting with others, or your listening skills, or even your silent messages, you still have to have something to say, something that you're passionate about that gets other people to jump on the bandwagon. So those are the seven areas. I get into each one of them in depth and tell you how to measure how much of that, of each of those seven traits you have, and then how to develop more of each of those seven traits. So that's the whole charisma program.
Fantastic. Can anybody really do that? Is that possible for even the least charismatic person out there to develop charisma, to improve those seven abilities?
Well, Jason, I think people can learn to become more charismatic, but it doesn't mean that a person who has very little charisma, even if they follow what I suggest, they're not going to become a Bill Clinton type of charisma. They'll become more charismatic, but not as much as somebody who is naturally charismatic or somebody who is naturally charismatic and develops it even more. So, you know, it's just, again, it's a level, you know, we're not going to turn somebody into a very outgoing, persuasive, likable, magnetic personality. We're just saying that we can move people along the continuum of no charisma to incredibly charismatic. It's just moving people along that scale, and it's just going to make them that much more magnetic and likable than they are today.
Fantastic. Tony, you have been a very successful speaker and author for many, many years, and you're moving, you alluded to it earlier, you're moving more into automating your business and setting up things. I was wondering if you could share a few business tips for our listeners on what it takes to become successful in your business or any business.
Well, I think what it takes to be successful is good people skills, which I've been fortunate enough to have since I was a kid, but I constantly develop it. It's having a service mentality. So, you know, I bend over backwards to serve my customers. If they are not happy, I'm not happy. If they want their money back, they get it before the words are out of their mouth. I mean, I jump through hoops, and I tell my team of employees to jump through hoops to make people happy. I focus on long-term relationships and long-term profitability, not on a single transaction. If I have to lose money on a single transaction, I will do that to keep a customer for life. And I don't think many businesses or people within businesses have that mentality or are taught that. Sometimes an employee just follows the party line, and they look at the transaction and not the value of the customer over the life of the business or being a customer.
Yeah, certainly the lifetime value of the customer is very important to focus
very
on.
Crucial. Another thing is I constantly keep an eye on my finances. I'm looking at revenue. I look at expenses. I understand cash flow. And I'm just telling you these things, Jason, in terms of what other business owners should do. Don't take your eye off the financial ball. Even if you have a CPA or you have somebody who's a bookkeeper, and don't take your eye off the ball. Get reports from them.
You have to do it yourself and know what's going on, sir.
Yeah, you have to know what's going on. Make sure that you have a business plan, you know, something that you follow, where you know the kinds of customers that you want to go after, you know, the profitable customers that you want to go after, know the ones that you want to avoid. I think another interesting thing that is really taking hold today is that more and more businesses are looking at customers and actually deciding to fire some of them because they are incredible complainers, they are stress inducers, or they are money losers. So you don't have to keep all customers. And just make sure you balance things. Don't be a slave to your business. Don't work for your business. Make your business work for you.
Good advice. Tell us what you're doing in the area of automation. You have a new product, I guess it's new, called Cyrano, which is a CRM product or a product that can be added on to an existing CRM system. And this it kind of really is a good close to maybe our chat today, because it invokes the platinum rule, it invokes the assessments, it invokes automation, and just good business all around, right?
Absolutely. You know, everything I have done over the last several years has been to constantly reinvent myself and my business. So even all of my products, Jason, that I've created, like books and audio programs, you know, CDs and DVDs, everything has been digitized. So now they're ebooks, they're MP3s, they're streaming videos or MPEG-4s. And all the businesses that I'm in now and invest in are all online, web-based businesses that generate passive recurring revenue. So let's talk about Cyrano. Cyrano is a CRM system, and again, for your listeners, CRM stands for Customer Retention Management. And typically, those are what we call database software programs, where you can put all kinds of information about people and customers into a database and store it so that you can access it at any time. So what we do at the Cyrano Group, what we do is we focus a lot on salespeople, because those are the people who are so involved in customer acquisition and customer retention. So what we do is we provide salespeople with the ability to create perfectly matched, customized, long-term follow-up campaigns in a matter of seconds without having to log into any CRM system. We give salespeople the ability to easily match their marketing messages with every contact's individual preferences, their behavioral style, their needs. We merge proven psychology with high-tech technology, sort of like chocolate and peanut butter together. Simple, cutting-edge technology and proven psychology to give salespeople the ability to build long-term relationships with hundreds of their clients and prospects without having to work additional hours or forgetting about things. So it's basically Cyrano, our CRM system, is a simple, efficient marketing, sales and marketing system that leverages the power of predictable human behavior with the ability to data mine specific information from the database. So that, again, you know, we talked about building long-term relationships, customers for life. That's what this is about. It's building customers for life. It's taken everything that I've worked on since 1970. From my first book, Non-Manipulative Selling, in 1979, to my most recent books, some people would say, hey, how did you get involved in CRM software? What it is, it's the culmination of everything I've worked on. It's just a great way to sell more, cross-sell, upsell, stay in touch, develop, deepen, lengthen, strengthen the relationship with our customers. You know, a database system is only as good as how you use it. And all too often, Jason, I hear salespeople and professionals who have fantastic numbers of clients in their database say, oh, I forgot to contact this, I forgot to contact that person. What good is it if you're not contacting
right.
people?
Yeah.
And also, what good is it if you're sending the same message to everybody? What our system does is it customizes things. So that's what our CRNO CRM system is all about.
Yeah, fantastic. Well, Tony, first of all, I have to comment that I think one of the greatest discoveries of the last century is the combination of chocolate and peanut butter. But what would you say to kind of wrap all of this up, this stuff that we've talked about today, and then tell the listeners where they can find out more?
Well, I would say one of the things that I do that I'm not sure a lot of people do is the reason I build my businesses and create wealth is I always have my eye on the ball and my ear to the ground. I'm talking to a lot of people every single day, whether it's about my finances, whether it's about my business, marketing, sales. I will call up colleagues and I will say, hey, Don, since the last time we chatted, again, that's maybe how a director would say it. Hey, Don, how you doing? Hey, since the last time we talked, has there been anything new that you've discovered that has helped improve or grow your business? What are you doing differently? And I ask that question in different ways to different people, and that's how I find out all these different things, unique things that are being done. And I evaluate it and say, can I use it in my own life and my own business? So again, have your eye on the ball and your ear to the ground. Be in touch with people. Find out what is happening that's new, unique, different. If people want to be in touch with me, they could easily send me an email. My email is TA, which stands for my name, Tony Alessandra. So TA@alessandra.com. That's ALESSANDRA.com. So they can email me. They can go to alessandra.com, you know, www.alessandra.com, or any of the other sites that we talked about, assessmentbusinesscenter.com or the CRNOgroup.com or platinumrule.com. Any of those sites, you'll eventually be able to get to me.
Well, good stuff. Tony Alessandra, thank you so much for joining us today. We appreciate the insights.
My pleasure. Thanks for inviting me, Jason. You have a great show.
Thank you so much for listening. Be sure to check out HartmanMedia.com for appropriate disclaimers and terms of service. Remember that guests' opinions are their own. And if you require specific legal or tax advice or advice in any other specialized area, please consult an appropriate professional. We look forward to seeing you on the next episode.